choices you make with your lifestyle, your money, every single day, influence your future. It is time to fight to make it better. This podcast is dedicated to you, to sharing ideas that you can use to take ownership of your financial future. Most Americans have little or no net worth. By being purposeful with what we earn, I know we can change that, and we must change that. I want you to learn this game. I want you to be better educated about your money. I want you to live a better life. Welcome to Money is Personal, Briggs Financial Podcast. Let's go! Salutations, greetings, and hello. My name is Stephen Briggs. I'm chairperson and CEO of Briggs Financial Incorporated. Welcome to Money is Personal, episode number 166, Not the Fancy People. When I first started as a financial planner, I was working at a broker-dealer, meaning I was at a firm that sold a variety of securities products, as well as insurance products, funds, and we did financial planning as well. And not terribly surprising, though cynical, the least lucrative was the thing that most people probably could have really benefited from and was probably the most objective thing we did, which was financial planning. But in spite of it not being the highest paying of the things we had, it was work that I felt was actually worth doing week in and week out. I have always been in my career, and even before I had a career, I go back to even to my teens, I've always been a teacher. I've always been a coach, a mentor. And that's really what financial planning is all about. It's about having a strategic understanding of the world of personal finance, and then guiding a client to make decisions that are going to serve their situation the best. One of the first exercises I was given by a manager at the firm that I was working at was to think about who my target customer or audience is. And truth be told, I have always had a really difficult time answering that question because, frankly, it really does not matter to me who you are, in the sense that financial prudence comes in a wide range of shapes and sizes. So it really shouldn't matter what walk of life you come from. There should be a path forward for you. If you're not earning as much money or don't have as much savings, there are certain things you need to work on. If you have more of that stuff built up, you build it up, and we pursue that path together. I've never been a fan of people who are, oh, I work with doctors. Oh, I work with lawyers, these niches. I mean, I work with athletes. All of that is form over function. These are people that, I mean, to be a niche financial planner, frankly, is to be a marketer. You're marketing yourself, rather. That's a brand, a concept of sorts. But is that, you know, oh, I know what those issues are. Well, those issues are not much different than issues other people in other industries have. So at the end of the day, risk management is risk management. And this and risk and reward, these are questions, these are concepts. They do not change just because you're in one industry or another, you know. So whether you're a teacher, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're what, the same basic rules of financial discipline and prudence and risk management apply. So even as I left to start Briggs Financial, I left the firm to start Briggs Financial, and really all the way up to this point, several years into running my business, I've always had an easier time defining what we aren't rather than what we are. We don't sell insurance products. We don't sell annuities. We don't charge commissions for things. I could always describe it in terms of what we aren't in the industry. But I was always having a difficulty figuring out what is a phrase or what is a way to describe who we do typically represent. What are, you know, and so interestingly, I was starting to look through our CRM in terms of some data and just kind of trying to gather a sense of this. And really, if I was to sit there and say who our clients or what is the general, you know, vibe of our client base, I now have a phrase for this. And that phrase is, not the fancy people. So where did this phrase come from? Well, it didn't come from me off the top of my head. where I did come from, or at least where I heard that phrase initially, and it immediately sang to my soul, was an interview that was conducted in 1997 between Fred Rogers, also known as Mr. Rogers, in an interview with Charlie Rose. He spoke about, quote, "I see that people who are not the fancy people in this world are the ones who seem to nourish my soul," unquote. That hits hard for me. I didn't grow up very fancy at all. You know, we had a house, small 3-bedroom, 1.5-bath ranch, 20 minutes away from Lansing, Michigan. Down the road from where I lived, I think country roads here, 55 miles an hour, one lane each way in the middle of the fields, because that's what surrounds Lansing. If you're 20 minutes away from downtown, 25 minutes away from downtown in any given direction, you're in a field. And, you know, we would bike to see our friends. There was a strawberry farm. And this is one of my favorites. There was a strawberry farm just down the road that let us kids, we'd pick strawberries in 1-gallon ice cream buckets. And we could eat as many as we wanted while doing so. That is, till a competing farm bought them out and then stopped growing the strawberries. This was early in my life, kind of one of my first tastes of how destructive and exploitative capitalism could be, even on a local level. It made life worse, made it not as much fun, and it made strawberries more expensive, made living more expensive. So with that said, for nearly the entirety of my life, I have witnessed this divergence, particularly in the last 15 to 20 years between the wealthiest household in the country and, well, not the fancy people. And not only has that gap increased by orders of magnitude, but the quality of life for not the fancy people has declined exponentially as well, where it takes not just more work, but so much more work to reach the same level of lifestyle and comfort enjoyed by the generation previous. There are reasons for this, and labor numbers are one thing, where labor has not kept up even with inflation. But another thing we can point to real heavily that I don't think gets the attention it should are interest rates. When interest rates are lower, yep, it is less expensive to buy a house or a car. But the kick is the people buying houses and cars have money already to do so. You know what else is lower at the same time? Savings account rates. Up until the last couple of years, CDs and savings accounts paid virtually no interest. So if you go back 30 years, and we had CDs yielding 8% back then, not so today. And because there's no safe haven for people to keep up with inflation, let alone build wealth, the only places one's been able to earn a solid yield has been through investment. And whether it's real estate or particularly the stock market, that's where you could actually earn some returns. But the problem is, who can afford to take the risk? Who can afford the cost of evaluating investments, of doing the research on things, and then make decisions that offer risk-reward scenarios that increase, you know, increase that wealth? Who could, and moreover, frankly, who can afford to fail? Who can afford to put their money up, and if it doesn't come back 100 cents on the dollar, be perfectly okay with it? The answer is the people who are already rich. And that's the problem. The last 45 years of economic policy has done an extraordinary job of busting up the collectivism of society, pulling us in every given direction away from forms of group defense and group risk pools. Why did the 401k and the IRA, individual retirement account, come to exist? These are not mechanisms that have been around for hundreds of years, folks. The 401k and the IRA really developed late 70s, early 80s, is when those started to pick up a little bit of steam. And you can thank Ronald Reagan for that, along with, by the way, the Social Security Amendment of 1983, which absolutely screwed workers. Absolutely screwed them. Why did the 401k and the IRA come up? So corporations no longer had to shoulder the liability of a pension fund. Well, the 401k and the IRA, corporations were off the hook on having to manage a risk pool to pay for their workers for the long run. No, and so there you have it. That's the history of it. Reagan worked to basically tried to de-risk corporations, and boy, did they. Workers had to pay more into the system for social benefits than ever before, while at the same time, de-risking pensions. And then, if that wasn't enough, you have this big push of states moving to right to work. Why did they do that? To pay people less. And according to the Economic Policy Institute, 3.2% less. So now you have these instruments that put all the risk on individuals. And now you put the, and it's not just investment saving risk. Now we have work risk. Now you have no interest-bearing accounts. So, you know, with that, savings doesn't even keep up with inflation, requiring even more cash savings to be built up just to have some semblance of a buffer against emergency situations. But wait, there's more. We're also going to sit there and put less and less percentage public funding into healthcare, because I would say healthcare costs, if we thought inflation overall was bad, during that Reagan administration, medical costs were going up at 8% a year. We should ever be so thankful that they only go up at 4% a year now, which is still means it's a compounding about every 15 or 16 years or so. Doubling every 15 or 16 years, healthcare costs. Number one cause for bankruptcy in this country, by the way, is medical debt. And then, in our politics today, social media today, literally engineered to create factions. Our media is here to silo and divide. And they make money from the conflict. When there's eyeballs and clicks, those guys are making advertising dollars all over the place. So there is no profit motive. There is no reason for anyone in this situation to actually solve problems, because they're all making money off of not solving the damn problem. They're all making money off of not solving the problem. This, to me, is why I love what we do around here. This is a problem worth solving. Not the fancy people deserve a good quality of life. And so that's what we do here. That is our business. Our business is to work and build up, not the fancy people. We battle alongside our clients every step of the way, building a foundation that can withstand these storms. And then we employ much of the same tactics used by the rich to build wealth. We build it low and slow, and we build it for the long run. We're working on career, working on lifestyle, working on de-risking life. So wealth generation engines like stocks and real estate are able to be left untouched, which is how you actually grow wealth. You have to be able to ride out bad periods of time, bad periods of history, down markets, and everything in between, and whatever life throws at you. Because you can be employed, unemployed, and sick, and have a death in the family all at once. And the market be down, because we're in a recession. All that can happen simultaneously. We want our clients to be prepared for this stuff. And so our balance is, be able to provide that approach where you're at right now, at a price point that's affordable for the people we serve. And we try to put our clients in the best position possible to have success. Does this approach guarantee success? Nope. Anything involving risk management, there isn't a guarantee of success. Can't be. But I will say this. I do think having consistent advice, I think having consistent analysis, having this in front of you, this money thing in front of you regularly, steadily building that durable fortress of financial independence, I think this is at least an effort that helps bridge that gap between not the fancy people to get to live a comfortable life, a peaceful life, a content life like the fancy people get to. The only difference being the fancy people, in many cases, are privileged enough to approach this thing and not have to put the work in, and they get to fail a bunch because they have the money. So when they fail, they have more money. They can fail again, they still have more money. Whereas not the fancy people, we don't get infinite shots at this. We don't get infinite bites of this apple. So it's important that the best we possibly can, we try to get it right. You know, we don't have the luxury of not putting the work in. I don't have the luxury of sitting back and just letting the team do its thing. No, I'm rolling up my sleeves right alongside them. I am up early and I stay up late and we do what we got to do around here. We don't have the luxury of not putting the work in, but we do have the opportunity to put the work in. We do have the opportunity to be thoughtful in how every dollar we earned is used. We have the opportunity to give ourselves the best chance to reach our goals and to help the people around us along the way. And that's just it. I cannot change a lot of the things about how this capitalistic world works. And goodness knows, there's a whole lot of crazy going on right now. And I feel it. And I hear it from clients. And day in and night out, if I sat there on my phone and scrolled and read everything there is to read, I'm sure I would be amped to 11, which is why I have to avoid it. I read the news. I'm not immune to it. I'm not immune to, I think, some pretty, I'll just say it, I think some very irresponsible management going on right now. Very irresponsible. I can't change that. But what I can do is my level best to show people how to navigate it, how to build themselves as individuals, their households, financially, their businesses. I can help you build within it in spite of what's going on against you, in spite of the mechanisms working against people, working against their ability to defend themselves, to build themselves up. And I think that fight is winnable. But we have to play the game differently. And we need to not play the game the way these jokers want us to play the game, because they're taking advantage left, you know, from all directions, jerking around every which way. And I'll just say it, not the fancy people, have been jerked around for nearly 50 years, and I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it, and if you're listening to this and you're going, yep, that's me, I hope you're tired of it too. That's what the fight is around here each and every single day. And I'll be damned if we, to my last breath, if we don't try to help as many people along the way do what they need to do so they get to live a good quality of life in this country. I can't fix Washington, D.C. I can't fix what a lot of these not just politicians, but how a lot of these actors in technology, in business, how they behave, how they look at and treat people. All I can say is that I just have a very different understanding of the value and importance of the individual, that everyone deserves to live with dignity, with self-respect, and with mutual respect. And so that's what we're working hard to try to establish and help people build and maintain on the daily. That's it. If you're not one of, if you look at this and go, I'm a not the fancy people, well, you want to know what? I know a lot of firms. We have minimums for how much we charge, or we have fund minimums or whatever. We don't need any more of that in this industry. We don't need more financial planners chasing after the top 1, 2, 3%. Guess what? You know what? They're doing just fine. They're doing just fine. Goodness knows we might stand to benefit from some inefficiency and make them pay some more taxes. Mercy me. But if you're looking at that going, I'm not the one top 1, 2, 3%, you belong here. Because that's who we serve. And I'd say this, I think you're worth helping. And yeah, it can't cost a gajillion dollars. And you know what? We may not be the, you know, like I said, we may never hit the Forbes list of top financial advisory firms, because we don't manage as many assets as the big firms or the best firms or the, I don't know, we're going to work our butts off to serve everybody. We seem to forget this is a service industry. Our job is to help people, not exclude people, not to put up more fences, not to put up more divides, but to understand fundamentally that every person is worth helping. Every person, if you're willing to put the work in, you're willing to bust your butt, you've got a place here. And we want you here. And you deserve to have success. You deserve to fight. And whether you ever become a client or not, yes, I'd love everyone who listens to this thing, if you're not already a client, to be a client. But honestly, if you're able to take all the tools I produce in terms of whether it's podcasts and articles and social media posts, and you're able to build a thing, amazing. I'm thrilled. Doesn't bother me one bit. If you can use tools and resources we have to rethink and think about your problems and come up with solutions differently, amazing. Exactly what I hope for. I hope for that for you. I hope for that for everyone that listens, everyone that hires us, everyone that works with our team. Everyone deserves to be served well. Everyone deserves to live with dignity. And the kicker is just this. This system is set up to be wholly and squarely against not the fancy people. So we're going to have to play the game as best we can, as hard as we can. We're going to have to work harder than the fancy people, and that's okay. Frankly, I think not the fancy people are pretty used to that. So we'll roll up our sleeves and we'll get to work. And that's what we do here every single day. On that note, I want to thank you for listening to this week's episode / Soapbox Rant. You can find the other 165 episodes of our podcast at BriggsWealth.com. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. Thank you so much. Have a great week. Be safe. Be well. We'll catch you with a fresh episode soon. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening to Money is Personal, the Briggs Financial Podcast. Please follow Briggs Financial on Instagram and Facebook for more terrific personal financial stories and ideas. And check out our firm's website at www.briggswealth.com to schedule a free consultation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. This information is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Briggs Financial believes the information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but does not guarantee the accuracy of the information being provided. This information is not meant to be a complete summary or statement of all available data for making financial or investment decisions, and does not constitute a recommendation. Please note that the information provided may include references to concepts that have legal, accounting, and tax implications. It is not to be construed as legal, accounting, or tax advice, and is provided as general information to you to assist in understanding the issues discussed. This information is not meant as a financial or investment advice pertaining to your personal situation. The selection of appropriate investment or planning options and or strategies should be made on an individual basis after consultation with appropriate legal, tax, or financial advisors. Nothing contained herein is intended as a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any product or service mentioned, and they may not be suitable for all investors.